record. The Seder. Okay. So the same rules applied here as applied in Shara B'tochen. I don't promise to deal with all the psukim. And we will try as much as possible to try and get something lamaisa out of this. Take on exercises and work the sugi as opposed to just learning this theoretically. It's hard work. First needs a lot of focus here. And not that Shara B'tochen was easy, but this requires a lot of focus. If you're going to be doing other stuff, you're going to miss the plot here completely. This requires a lot of there's a lot of work here, you'll see. Okay. So I'm learning from the classic Leif Toiv volume. Somebody wants to follow. I'm in the Leif Toiv. Amar Mechaba. Hoyel v'bavanu b'shar ha-rishon ha-raseif ha-esdarche ha-chakira shel yichud elokim b'leif sholem. Since we've explained, we discussed in the first Shara Yichud of the Sefer. This is the second Shah. This is the second step in the journey. In that Shah, we discussed the ways of investigation of the Yichud of Hashem, Belev Sholem. Well, be's boinenus bechochma niris bebrua boiris berachua derech hakreve beyose el hoichoches metziyuse. And since it is that meditating on the wisdom, investigating and working and meditating on the wisdom of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that is apparent in the creations that a Kodesh Baruch Hu created, that's the easiest way, that's the closest, the Derech HaKreve, he says, B'yoysa, the closest way, most closest way to come and prove his existence. And it is the safest path to know his genuine oneness. So we're going to be touching on big things here. That's why you have to have Shara Bechina coming off the Shara Yichud. In order to juxtapose each gate with the one that is similar to it. After each inyan, to bring the inyanim that are shaykh to that inyan. So what's the consequence of all of this? If I would ask you, if you've done all this now that he suggests we're going to do, what would you hope to achieve? What would be your goal in doing all of this? So this is where a lot of people close the sefer. Is not what you would have expected. Shall Yodom Nakiris Chovotenu Laseg Bavoida Sakel Yisborach Ashelamon Boro Otonu. Through doing this, you will come to recognize, you'll come to fulfill, to recognize and fulfill the Avoida Hashem for which we were created for. Ashelamon Boro Otonu. That's why he created us. The reason why Hashem created us was to be Nakiris Chovotenu Velaseg Bavoida Sakel. A Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world in order that we would serve him for ourselves, not for him. He created us for the purpose of Avodas Hashem, because ultimately that's going to lead to the greatest tanug that you can get. Hashem created the world in order to bestow good, to give us pleasure. The way you get pleasure is by doing Avodas Hashem. And that's going to be the stepping stone. We'll see. Okay. So that's why we're doing this, because we want, and that's why the next Shah, by the way, Shah Gimel, is Shah Avodas Elokim. Because after you come out of Shah Bechina, you're going to want to know how to serve Hashem, because you realize the enormous obligation that you have. And then, of course, you'll come to Shara B'tochen, the fourth Shah, because as he said, the most important thing you need in order to be able to be over Hashem is to have the tochen. That's how that's the sequence. Okay, let's start. The first list, Eli, is a short one. It's just three things. So that shouldn't be too difficult for us to deal with. Okay, here we go. Benaktim tchila, shetoivas hakelis barach lebruiv, lomorot shem koilis es kulom. The story says a little like Domia, that the goodness that Hashem does for us, for his creatures, even though lomorot, Shem Koilas is Kulam, it includes everyone. Kamal Shama Kosuf Toiv Hashem Lakol. Most people are very blind to chappas, to recognize the toivos. Ulahovin is goidel erchon, and to recognize the enormity of their value. And they don't delve in, they don't think deeply about the essence of this. For three reasons. And we'll see these are not poshut. These three things are an avoiding, each one's an avoiding itself. And you'll see yourself, hopefully, in all three of them to some extent. And certainly the second one. First one, maybe we're less involved in, but the second one and the third one, we'll see. We have a lot of shaykhs to it. The first one, achas ezebe, has kusom harabe be'inyona o'ilam hazeh v'tanugov. The involvement, great involvement in the matters of this world and its pleasures. That's a whole share on its own, those few words. The lasting, the desiring, continuous for things that you'll never ever achieve. You'll never get them. Do a cheshbon, how much, maybe the lust is a bit of a strong word, but how much time do you spend thinking and worrying and working and trying to get things that you'll never get? As a result of this very big involvement in running after things of this world, which they're never going to ever really attain, they don't meditate and contemplate the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bestowing on them all the time. Because their hearts are lahut, are driven after their desires, their strong desires to fulfill their lusts and to provide for all their aspirations. This we know is very true. When a person gets to some level, some attainment in this world, Ein heim is stuck me, boy. He's not happy with it. Ela shoafi miyad lagiela madrega shel amalim imen. The minute he gets what he thought would give him his happiness, and this is what he was yearning for, and this is what he wanted, the minute he gets it, it takes a few days, maybe a few weeks, he already wants the next level. He gets to silver, he wants gold. He gets to gold, he wants platinum. Tamid tzichod. That's the yeshmona roisa misayim, which we've spoken about. We'll touch on that again here as well now. And they will now be more mishtadl to attain the next level, the one above that. Because they thought that this level would fill the hole in their heart. They have this need, this feeling, this lust. And they feel that when they get to that attainment, then the feeling will go away and everything will be fine again. Problem is the hole that they're trying to fill can't be filled with Olam HaZeh Dika Zachen. For a temporary year, for a short while, for sure, while it's still new, it does give some kind of temporary satisfaction. But it goes away very quickly. And then the hole in the heart comes back again and has to fill it up. So what he filled it up with before wasn't enough. So now he needs more. If he had 100, 100 didn't work. So now it's 200. 200 doesn't work, he needs 400. The tragedy of this person is that he's becoming poorer and poorer as he goes along. So Leslie explains that. He's the most tragic figure because when he wanted when he had 100, he wanted 200. What he was lacking was 100. Then he gets 200. Now he wants 400. What's he lacking? He's now lacking 200. When he gets 400, he wants 800. So he's lacking 400. You're defined by your lack. Your lack's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's a never-ending spiral into oblivion. So what is this? Okay, there's a lot to be said about the consequences of that. He's focusing on one very, very profound aspect that we probably wouldn't have thought about. When you're doing all of this, so what does it do? The goodness, the toivos, enormous toivos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the matanos that he's giving us start looking very small in your eyes. He can't fill himself up with the goodness of Hashem because it's just he's after these big other things. And the chesed that Hashem's doing for us just becomes very mamait. It becomes very insignificant in his eyes. Hashem is stuck in al kol toiv v'sheyesh lachem kin nishlolomem. They look on all the goodness that everybody else has as though it was taken away from them. This was mine. V'atov shegia aleim lidem aleim l'ra. I think you have to translate that differently. Sorry. And the law, city tov, for just 1 second. Kilu nishlala mihem. Nishlala is shlili, that it's negative from them. Not sure what he means. Yeah. Hashem choishim kol tovish yesh luzulosam. Kilu nishlala mihem. I thought it meant it was taken from them, but nishlala yam means negative, that it's negative and it should be negative for them. Lo yada. Vatov shiagi alem nidam alem lara. The good that is done for them ultimately, that Hashem's doing for, looks bad for them. Hashem is doing good for them, but it's not fulfilling their taivas of Olam Hazeh. There's enormous goodness that's being done, but they're so busy chasing after what they want, which they're never going to attain, that the good Hashem's doing for them doesn't even look like good, and Adrab, it even looks like bad. We'll discuss it at length later. Ein hei mevinim es pulus Hashem. They don't understand the actions of Hashem. Hameitiv lehem bedvarim eile, that Hashem is bestowing good on them in these things. Kamo shama kosuv, Rosha Kagoiva Apoy, Bal Yidrosh Einel Akim Kol Mezi Moisov. The Rosha, because of his Gaiva, doesn't look for Hashem that's being, that means he doesn't recognize, not seeing Hashem and all the goodness that's happening to him. And all his thoughts are not on the goodness that Hashem's doing for him. This is the Pasuk according to the Menor Chalvavus, yeah, in the footnote. Anoisin Lo Koyach La'aso Chel. He doesn't recognize that it's Hashem that's giving him all the koich to achieve everything. That's what he takes out of this pasuk. Rosha kagoiva apoy, the Rosha, because he's so riddled with gaiva, he doesn't see, he doesn't take into account all the good that's being done for him. And he starts attributing it all to himself. It's all I done it. Okay, so there's a velt of Torah here. There's 5 sheri minimum in this little shtickle here. About the way a person has tivus for this world, and you always want the next level, and that because you're so busy in this, not just that you're so busy with this, you don't have time for Hashem. That would be the least of our worries. It makes it much, much more profound. The problem here is that when you're so busy chasing after Olam Hazeh, then the goodness and the chesed that Hashem is bestowing you, even in Olam Hazeh, starts looking very small in your eyes, at kedei that it starts afterwards looking like bad, starts looking evil. So there's a lot of work for a person to be done here. Find your own examples. It's not so posh to grasp this one. I keep coming back to this paragraph time and time again, that there's worlds in this paragraph. But it's part of that Dhamma, and I'm not going to get too bogged down here. Let's get into the theme, get the feel. We'll see, we'll come back. We'll keep coming back to this. There's a lot here. Okay. Asiba Sheni is he. The second reason why people don't spend too much time thinking about these things and recognizing the good that Hashem is doing for them. It's not nice to talk about our children like this, but that's what they are. We came into the world like that, and our children come into the world like that. They're tipshim, and they're like little donkeys. That's they come in this world like a little animal. Person is he comes into this world like a wilder, like a chaya. From the minute they're born, Hashem is bestowing, they grow up with enormous goodness from a Kodesh Baruch Hu being bestowed on them. It's mamash ingrained in them. Who's got eyes? Everyone's got eyes. I've had eyes since I was born. And I've said, oh, just get used to everything that you've got. And you started getting it at a time where you didn't have the seichel to appreciate it. It happens automatically. You know, milk comes from the makolet, and Abba pays the makolet bill, and Abba, that's where it comes from. The money comes from Abba, and I call Beseda. What do you mean? That's the way it is. That's how it always been. That's how it always will be. You get rogil in this. It's habit, and it's regular, and it's there, and it's known, and everybody, you know, that's the way of the world. Like they're part of the essence of these things. These things are part of me and I'm part of them. And that's the way it is. No one can take them away from me because they're me. They're mine and they belong to me and they're mine forever because they're mine. You would think, hopefully, that as his seichel starts expanding and his understanding starts getting stronger, Even so, hem nisharim b'sichlusam. They stay in their stupidity. Without recognizing the goodness that Hashem is doing for them, they don't pay attention to the fact that they have to thank Hashem enormously and praise Hashem for all of these goodnesses. Two reasons why they don't. First of all, because they don't recognize the value of the gift, because they've never stopped to think about it. Not just because it's become habit. That's the way it is. That's the way of the world. And second of all, they don't stop to think about the value of the one who's bestowing the good on them. There's the good itself that's being bestowed that a person has to take into account. And there's also who's bestowing the good. Okay, so that brings us a famous, famous marshal of the Chovei Salavavas. Interesting avoidia. V'emim sholim b'zeletinuk, she'iz chesed echad matzo toba midbo. We'll put it into our language. There was this little baby that a person in Ish Chesed found him abandoned somewhere in the Chves, I don't know, he says in the midbar, in the railway station, whatever, he finds this abandoned child. V'richam alo, v'ichnisu lebeise, v'gidl oto, v'achiloi, v'lelbishoi, v'itnadev, v'sapik lois, kol ma shetov lo. He takes his child home, he cleans him, he feeds him, he raises him, he gives him everything that's good for him. Ad shegon latinuk, v'hiskil, v'havenes, atov shehiti, v'mo Ish Chesed. This child gets older and they tell him his story and he starts recognizing, wow, he starts recognizing the enormous good that this Ish Chesed did for him. He hears about a certain person that's fallen into the hands of an enemy of his. He's been imprisoned by him. His mom is torturing terribly. He's hungry, he's in suffering, he doesn't have clothes to wear. His mom is in a very, very terrible matzav in this guy's captivity. So he feels very merciful. He hears about the story, and he thinks he has to do something about it. So he goes and he talks to his enemy. He goes and he redeems him. And he mevatez on all the money that he was owed by this person. That's why he put him in prison. Whatever the story was. So he brings him into the house. He just does a little bit, small percentage of what he did for the baby. And baby, we know it's much harder to raise a baby. So he does a fraction of what he did for the baby. This ex-prisoner is much more appreciative. He realizes much more the good that this man had done for him. And he thanks him much, much more. Than the tinuk that he raised. This man went from his tzar to redemption, from his poverty to his wealth, from the toiva that the chesed that was done for him, that happened while he had seichel, he could appreciate what was happening. He recognizes well what chesed this guy had done for him. The baby doesn't appreciate the goodness that was done for him until he has a baby. Even after his appreciation, his seichel starts growing and maturing. He's habituated in them. He's used to them. I've got a roof over my head. I've got food. I've got clothes. I've got whatever, you know, of course, because that's everybody around here. That's just normal. That's what you have. He was never able to feel the lack when he had proper seichel to appreciate it like the prisoner did. No Bal Seichel would argue that what he did for the Tinuk was much, much more than what he did for the other guy. This little baby has, when he grows up, has much more responsibility, obligation to thank and praise the man much, much more continually. The Tinuk won't fulfill this obligation. He says it again and again and again. I'll leave you to try and work out whether the try and find a pshat, a swara for the repetitions. The hurgal b'toyves mikatnusay. Those are the three words that are critical here. Ulochein u'mistakel lehem kal dover rogil u'biltinim lo. Again, he says it. He looks upon them as something which is rogil. It's yeah, and it'll never be stopped. It's just it always was and it always will be there. That's part of life. V'doyim hashama makosu v'anoichi targalti le'Ephraim. I habituated Ephraim from his smallness, from his youth. I took him on my shoulders and he didn't recognize that I was the one that was healing him all the time. It's Pasuk in Hosea. The Kodesh Baruch Hu took Ephraim, that's us, put him on his shoulders, carried us, held us or whatever, and we don't recognize whose shoulders we're sitting on. So that's the second reason why we don't recognize and appreciate and turn the recognition of the good that Hashem is doing for us into avodas Hashem. Is that's the reason, because we just habituated, but that requires a lot of work to break the habit. A person has to work on that hard, and that's why we learn Shara Bechina, because that'll teach us how to break out of those habits. The third one is not a poshut one. The third one is a real nisoin, especially for the youngsters. I see for the teenagers and whatever, this is not a poshut nisoin. But for us as well, this is not a poshut nisoin. Intellectually, we're fine with it. Intellectually, we don't have this problem. But you'll see, if you're honest, deep down, this is a real, real problem. It's a real struggle, this one, if you're thinking about it. If you're not thinking about it, it's easy. But if you're thinking about it, you'll see the third reason is the lo poshut. It's a big obstacle. And if it's not for you, at least recognize it is for other people. You can maybe help them. Okay. Asiba shlishi is here. The bad things that happen to people, to put it into the most simple language, and the losses that come upon their bodies and their money. Third one, we'll come back to this. He brings three reasons. I'm not convinced an exhausted list, but it certainly covers, these are the headings of the three main areas of categories that this is in. Person doesn't realize that these so-called bad things that are happening to people, they don't understand that these things, one of three reasons, all three reasons, they're a means to bring a person to much more goodness in Olam Haba. Or because the goal is to punish them for sins they did in Olam Hazeh, so they can not get punished in Olam Haba. The first reason is it's to test a person in this world, so that when he withstands the test, he gets much, much more reward in Olam Haba, or to punish him for the avodas he's done in this world, so that he can not be punished in Olam Haba. Look, that's actually two things under a total category. Sorry. Of Shivu Alayim, Achar Kach Tov Olam Hazeh. Now, there are three things. It's either what's happening, sorry, again, the bad things that are happening to a person are either to give him good in this world or to provide him good in the next world, either by testing him in this world so he gets much more Shchan Olam Haba, or by punishing him in this world so he doesn't have to be punished in Olam Haba. That's what's going on there. That's what those three things are all about, these bad things. But these bad things, these so-called bad things that happen to us, prevent us from recognizing the good and from being over the Hashem. Praiseworthy, happy is the Dovid HaMelech says, is the person that Hashem causes Yisurim and teaches him from his Torah. It's a good thing. We struggle with it, of course. It's painful, it's bitter, it's hard, but it's never bad, it's good. All these happenings, and all the happenings that they're going to encounter, and kulam tovus shaboru or shaboru meitiv lem. They don't recognize it, that these are all good things that Hashem's doing for them. It's not poshut. You know, the person gets a headache. It's very hard to say, wow, thanks. I really appreciate that. It's good for me. I love it. Thank you. You know, you can turn it up a bit. It's really not that sore, you know. No, there's a modlo pashut, but that's the avoider. Kabul yusurim ba'av, that's avoider sachai. B'tona dova v'chesed, shaboy regozo b'tzedek, these are all chesed that Hashem's doing, b'tzedek. According to what his divine wisdom decides is best. But these people, they withhold from seeing the tzedek of Hashem in it. And they don't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he shows them this chesed, because I don't see the chesed in it. The sichlusam zu, this sichlusam, this idiocy, meviotam likpo betoive ubemi shemeitiv lembo. It leads to two terrible things. First of all, they deny who's doing the good for them. Sorry, they deny the good that's been done for them, and they deny who's doing the good for them. They come to be koifer in Hashem. Chalila. This idiocy can even bring you to think that you're cleverer than Hashem. Because if I would ask you, could you change something here? Would you want to change it? You'd say, of course, I change this, I change this, I do this, I do that, of course, because I know better than Hashem. Very few of us would turn around and say, no, just exactly the way it is. All good. All good. As Hayoilam Yosef Tov, Yotem Sudam and Mishu Akshab, Mamashu Akshab. If you'd hand over the running of the world to me, the world would be a much better place to live in than it is now. There wouldn't be any wars, there would be food for everyone, everyone would have Panosa, Kolia Tov, Kolia Musuda. So you're cleverer than Hashem, of course. Vaim Magonin Al Maisa Hashem, Vaini Reitzim Ladat, Shaim Atzman Gormalem Lavoli De Matsavze. They're not prepared to recognize and acknowledge that all of this came about as a result of themselves. They brought this upon themselves. He's going to give an example now. We've got 2 minutes. We can probably run through. The example is very self-explanatory. And then, we'll have to stop there and we'll see where this leads to. You have these blind people. So they were brought to the special house that was prepared for them. They had the special house built by the blind society, whatever. Everything put exactly where they needed, exactly what these blind people would need, and set up perfectly for them. This house was mamish cutting edge fix, as they say. Yeah. It was mamish perfect for exactly what they need. Everything was designed perfectly to bring them benefit. This house is all the medications they need, and there was a very wise doctor who was part of this whole program. In order to heal them with these medications, and to improve their sight. The blind people, they didn't listen to the doctor. They didn't take his advice. They didn't take the medication that was designed for their healing. And because they weren't listening to the instructions, they walked around the house all confused. They kept bumping into things and knocking themselves and hurting themselves on things that were put there for their benefit. But not from our plan, they fell on their faces. Some of them actually got wounded and broken lips. The terrible suffering here. Now that suffering's double, because first they just suffered from blindness. Now they're walking around with cuts and wounds and broken limbs. I was better off before you brought me to this place. Before I was just blind. Now I'm blind and broken. They're angry, they rebel against the Balabais. They're mamish criticize his actions. They're mamish blame him for being evil, and you bring us here to torture us, when you're some kind of a sadist, mata. They can't believe that the reason why I brought them there was for their good, to do chesed with them. He brought him here to cause them tzara, to cause them pain, to damage them. And this caused them to deny and not acknowledge the enormous chesed that the Baal was doing for them. And what being done for me is not for my toilets, it's been done that I could be michshul, that I should trip up in it. Okay. So therefore, there's a lot of work to do. First of all, we have to do the work of Shara Bechina, but to do that, we have to get past these three massive obstacles. But as we start learning Shara Bechina, some of this, part of this, all of this is going to interfere with our ability to translate the chesed, the chochmah, the beauty that you'll see in the Bria, to translate that into Avodas Hashem, because that's the goal. The goal is to take this and to somehow translate that at some level into Avodas Hashem, and these three things, and don't think we're immune from this. You'll see each person in his own way. This is a Rishon, he's describing principles. It won't be exactly the way we see it, but this gets in the way terribly, and it has to be, that's why it brings it right in the beginning, because these things have to be dealt with as you go weiter. You'll see. We'll keep tripping up in some of these areas. Okay. So,
I have a question.
We're on Kuf Lamed Dalet, if anybody wants to know where we're holding, and we will continue next week. Be'ezrat Hashem. Okay.
I have a question.
Good Voch, even though the week's nearly finished already. Seder.
Rabbi, are women invited tomorrow at 12 o'clock?
So I'm hoping so. I'll tell you what I want to do is at 12 o'clock when he's speaking, we can't have the Israeli koilel sitting up there.
Exactly.
Calls man the Israeli koilel sitting up there, I can't have women because there's a koilel up there.
I understand.
And I forgot to speak to the Rosh Koilel today, like I did when we had the Yom Iyun. So I'm going to ask him if at 12 o'clock he doesn't mind moving into the Beis Midrash, and then women will be available, It should be fine. What we've done in the past is we've put a few women. If there are a few women, they can sit in the foyer of the shul there. I've done that as well before. You know, when you come into the shul, there's that little vestibule before where the bathroom is and everything. I put a few chairs there, and the woman can sit there also as nishkafelach. That's also quite acceptable. But I'm hoping that the upstairs will be available. It has to be, because we can't have those guys screaming and shouting while Rabin is. So
is this man fairly loud that they'll be